Our reading today is taken from John 11, reading from verse 1 to 27. So I hope you're sitting comfortably. The death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime won't stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. If you've been in church or you've been joining us online in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of talk about sheep because of "I am the gate and I am the good shepherd." I don't know much about sheep, apart from the obvious, like you get wool from them. So I've watched Countryfile, and last Monday I went to some sheepdog trials, and 5 of them were found guilty. The other thing I'll say is, I'm counting at the moment. As church warden, you do quite a bit of counting. At the moment, I'm looking around and counting those adults that are busily doing the children's activities rather than paying attention. But I'll leave that up to you. I won't write your names down. So before I go any further, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are free to study on our own or in groups your word together. We thank you for Jesus, heaven come down. We thank you for your spirit, and we ask that those words of mine that are your words will endure, and that others will fade away, and that your spirit will empower us and help us to connect with you this morning and in the weeks to come. Amen. Now, we're doing the I Am statements. Today is the 5th of 7, and as John said earlier, it's quite a big one. But before I get on to today's passage, which is sort of the second thing I want to say, and the third thing will be about what we're going to do, I just want to look briefly at the Old Testament background. In Exodus chapter 3, many or most or all of you will know the story of the burning bush. And God appears to Moses, and God promises to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, where they have been in slavery for some time. And he decides that Moses is going to be his envoy, the person to go and tell them and to lead them out of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 3, it says, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" Remember that in the Old Testament, names are very, very important, and they symbolize the character, the very essence of a person. So God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" And as I was preparing, I was reading that "I am who I am" might also be translated from the Hebrew as "I will be who I will be." It's a continuous thing. It's not that moment in time and only that moment in time. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he's challenged earlier in John, Jesus says in chapter 8, verse 58, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." So we ask ourselves, can we try to go back in time and know what we already know? Because, you know, we're sitting here as wise but unable to manage stands, apparently. We're sitting here, sorry about that. We're sitting here as wise people and we say, yes, we know about I'm the resurrection of the life. We know what Jesus did and blah, blah, blah. And we can become a bit blasé about it. But let's try and go back and put ourselves in the time of Martha when she has this dialogue with Jesus. What was Martha and her contemporaries looking for in a Messiah? What were they expecting? What were the Jewish people looking for? They were looking for a political leader, a king, someone who would come and save them, rescue them from the Romans, someone who would bring great power and ultimately peace. And for many of them, and that's still true today, Jesus doesn't fulfill all of the prophecies and therefore doesn't get recognized as the Messiah in the way that we as Christians would recognize him. Traditional Judaism has never viewed the Messiah as a God-man, someone who was fully God and fully man, but only a man with an unusual power from God that will manifest the qualities of a prophet, a priest, and a king in Israel. There's many other references to "I am" and also who the Messiah is going to be in the Old Testament, including the Isaiah 11 that we were possibly going to use as a second reading today. I encourage you to look that up, because it's not a new concept. It's something where God, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, has always had on the agenda, fulfilled in Jesus. So the second thing is today's passage. The death and resurrection of Lazarus might well be a well-known account. It's only found in the Gospel according to John, and it contains the fifth "I am." But I think it's a climactic "I am" because of the resurrection and the life that follows. Many classic novel writers have followed that type of pattern where things build up to the climax and then they carry on the story with, apologies to the French as I pronounce it, with the denouement, how things play out afterwards. For Jesus, that's going to be after the resurrection. That's going to be spending some time with the disciples. And then it's going to be his ascension into heaven. And then it's going to be that other part of the Trinity, of the single God, the Holy Spirit, released at Pentecost. And that is going to affect us down through the ages. That didn't stop in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. It goes on and on. The Holy Spirit is with us now in this building. He's with us when we go home and have our Sunday lunch down the pub at home in the garden. He's with us all week, all day, all night, 24/7 now, they say, don't they? So there is that playing out of the denouement of God's story that we are living today. Now, many a message has been formulated around this passage of Scripture. Some people have written books on it. You'd be pleased to know that I haven't read a whole book on it, and I certainly don't intend to read a whole book on it. But it does, the resurrection of Lazarus does help us to see the promise and fulfillment that will be the resurrection of Jesus himself. The promise and resurrection of believers in Jesus, and then the promise of eternal life for those who believe in him and follow him. And I guess many of the people in the building in front of me now, or at home watching online, be they smartly dressed or still in their dressing gown, that holds true and has held true for some time. I always remember, I don't know if some of you watch MasterChef. Anybody watch MasterChef? And in this current incarnation, the judges are John Tarode, Australian chef, Greg Wallace. And in the early versions of this series, there was a little bit at the beginning of each episode to sort of dramatize the introduction. And Greg Wallace is saying, cooking does not get tougher than this. And John Tarode says, whoever wins, it's going to change their life. And let's be honest, at one level, that statement is true, because the winners of MasterChef and many of the finalists, it has changed their life in terms of their life with food and their life in cooking and what have you. But that's not the same as the resurrection of Jesus changes our lives when we believe in him and when we turn to Jesus as our Saviour. When I was a sixth former, last century, I knew I was holding an offer to go to university, like many people are, maybe some of you here or joining us online are. But I knew that I was okay in my physics and chemistry A-levels, without being sort of immodest, but I was worried about maths. And I hadn't been brought up in a Christian home. My parents weren't against it, just didn't take part in it. The only thing I thought I could do was pray. I didn't really know what prayer was, and I need two prayers. One was the Lord's Prayer, and one was something that Mr. Davis in year five has made us say every day when we put our chairs on our tables, which is one you probably know about, Lord, we beseech you this night, protect us from the, and so on. So every night before I went to bed, I said those two prayers, and I said, God, if you're real, will you let me go to my first choice university? And when I get there, I promise I will take you seriously. Well, the short outcome is I did manage to get in, even though I'd got under the grade in maths. And I did take it seriously, and I went to our college chaplain and told him this story. And it changed my life. That's a short version. But I bet for many of you, it has changed your life, whether that was last week or 40 years ago or whenever. Because the resurrection of Jesus and the life eternal he gives us, I am the resurrection and the life, that's Jesus, not me, changes us forever. Some of you here or joining us online will be unsure, looking, but maybe unsure. I encourage you to keep looking, keep asking, talk to people, continue maybe joining us online or in person at church, maybe come to an Alpha course. But do keep looking. For the rest of us, let's remember our lives have been changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the salvation that we have in Jesus. Jesus explained also in this passage that the sickness was for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? I don't think there's glory in being sick itself. And sadly, as we've heard this morning already, sickness leads to death in terms of our earthly human life. But Jesus gives us an eternal life in him. When he raises Lazarus from the dead, which is later than our reading in John 11, God's glory and power are revealed again. An interesting thing to note is Thomas, by the way, in verse 16. If I said to you, the disciple Thomas, what immediately would come to your mind? I'm betting myself 50p, going through your head or coming out of your lips, is doubting. Is that right? Right, I'll owe myself 50p later. But I'm not encouraging gambling here at this point. But on a serious note, Thomas in verse 16, Thomas is remembered for doubting and being a bit wavering and all that type of thing. He shows what a loyal and brave disciple he is. He's willing to follow Jesus back towards Jerusalem, where he's already been threatened with stoning and what have you. Hostile opponents might literally, I use that word properly, literally try to kill him. But Thomas said, I'll go with you. I'm prepared to follow you, even if that means leads to that. So Jesus arrives to see Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days. Why the delay? Why doesn't he go, whoa, got to get there, got to help Lazarus, got to save Lazarus maybe, or raise him from the dead? Well, I think it would be honouring the Old Testament understanding. In Job 18, it says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. In verses 21 to 24, Jesus' response to Martha has that proclamation. I am the resurrection and the life. And he's calling Martha to faith in him, into Jesus. He makes a distinction between Lazarus, who has died in the earthly sense, who he will raise later in the chapter, by the way, and Martha, who is alive. And he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. That's true for all of us. The classic John 3:16, God sent his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And there are other passages or verses and what have you that I could have quoted on that. But you notice what he says at the end of reading, and thank you, Yo, for reading that so well. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives in me by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He says to Martha. Do you believe this? It's a direct call to faith in Jesus. And as John mentioned earlier in the service, he's calling that to us. Do you believe this? I can see many people nodding. Maybe you're nodding at home as well. You believe this with all your heart. Sometimes we can get a bit blasé about it. Yeah, resurrection, eternal life, thank you very much. And I'm not being rude there, but sometimes we don't pause and let that sink in, like John said, opening the top of our hearts and letting it really sink in. We get to communion service and the vicar or president says at one point in the Eucharistic prayer, great is the mystery of faith. And we all reply, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. But do we say that because it's on the screen and we know what to say at that point? Surely we say that because we wholeheartedly believe in that. And mystery, not in the sense of Agatha Christie or Richard Osman, if you're a modern detective story reader or whatever, but sometimes that's translated as the very truth. Mystery is something that is revealed, and the very truth of God is revealed in Jesus, the resurrection and giving us life. Jesus showed the people then, Martha and those around him, who were close friends, remember, and he shows us now that death has no hold over him. Resurrection and life, eternal life, go hand in hand. Without Jesus, there's neither resurrection nor eternal life. And in all these statements, Jesus uses the term I am, and as I said, this is the fifth, in that echo of God from the Old Testament, God the Father meeting with Moses at the burning bush. Each I am statement reveals a new facet of Jesus' character, tells us a little more about him. But I do think that this is the climax of all the statements, and we don't stop there, we go on to that denouement, how it plays out. So if I say, do you believe this? And most, many, all of you say yes. My last point is, so what about us? What about us coming back to 2022? In the new order of things, spiritual life through faith in Jesus will lead to physical life without the possibility of eternal death. We are promised resurrection from the dead and given eternal life through faith in him. Jesus changes Martha's understanding of resurrection being a point in time to resurrection being a person who lives beyond time, Jesus himself. Believers in Jesus Christ will experience resurrection because of having the life that Jesus gives. It says that in 1 Corinthians. And as believers in Jesus, we rejoice in the gift of eternal life. So what's your I am? If you were asked, who are you, and you started with some statements saying, I am, what might you say? Now, I could stand here and say, I am Steve. At the moment, I'm a church warden. It tells me that on my badge. I am an early retired teacher. I am quite nervous this morning because, although I've done this before, it's not been for about 2.5 years. You know, I can be a factual thing, I can be a feeling. You might be saying, I'm really happy because we're going round to the grandparents for lunch and my grandma and granddad always do this amazing roast. There's lovely room in the garden for the children to play in or what have you. Friends of mine were telling me about some other friends they have. They run an orphanage in Indonesia. And every morning they sit round in a circle, the staff and the children, and they hold hands and they say this, which is a poster on the wall. I am blessed. I am highly favored. I am deeply loved by my Heavenly Father. And all these statements are from Scripture. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my mouth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the mind of Christ. Nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. And they remind themselves and the children of some key I am statements about them, because part of our I am surely is, I am a child of God. I am adopted into his family. So what will you do? The philosopher Descartes said in his best Latin, do you know that when you learn a foreign language, often the first thing you learn is, I am. And now I shall mangle some languages by saying, je suis, ich bin. And I think in Spanish, is it estoy or just soy? I'm looking at... I do know that if you learn Latin, you start with, I love, you love, he loves. And then you do an awful lot about tables. But if anyone who studied Latin, they'll probably recognize that. But we start with I am when we learn a foreign language, don't we? What would your I am be? Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. I think he's got it the wrong way around. I think because God is, I am. Because Jesus is, I am. He's challenging us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if I might claim to speak for him, I am, therefore, what are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? What are you going to do about it? So we might say, I am, therefore I respond. I am, therefore I do. And my challenge to you, and I'm looking in the mirror when I say you as well as you in front of me or you on online joining us. I am, what will my personal response be later today, this week, and crucially, as an integral part of my life as a disciple of Christ? And I'm thinking the old three things: up in our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other in part of a church family, and out, carrying that message to the outside world, be it at work or play or school or just in casual encounters. How are you being? I am, because you're a child of God and you want to share that with others. And as someone, I think it was John, said earlier, how we show that, how we evidence that, and how we carry that message on. So this week, think about what your I am statements are and what you're going to do about it, because you remember Jesus is the resurrection and Jesus gives you, me, and all those who turn and follow him eternal life. And as MasterChef said, and I'm not reducing Jesus to MasterChef for a minute, it will change our lives. It has changed our lives and it will go on doing so. Bless you.